This is Finding Center, a daily half hour of spiritual focus. Today on Finding Center, we'll hear a BYU Hawaii campus devotional address by Kala Kau, titled Life as a Classroom, Not a Courtroom. It was given May 12, 2026.
Brothers and sisters, good morning and aloha. Thank you for that beautiful music about the Savior's amazing grace, and thank you for the prayers offered today. I am pleased to be here representing student life and to serve with my colleagues on President's Council and also President Hester from the PCC. I feel fortunate to work with so many I admire for their faith and leadership and commitment to the mission of BYU Hawaii. I'd also like to thank President and Sister Hawes for serving a second semester. I deeply appreciate the way they have dedicated themselves to serving the Lord and this university. And I'm especially grateful for you in the audience, gathered here with a purpose. I feel your genuine interest and aloha. I also want to thank my wonderful wife and our family for their support. It is my privilege to speak to you today. Yet I believe that each of you carries a devotional message within you. Life itself is a classroom, and each of you is learning something worth sharing. We have all faced challenges, received answers to prayers, and experienced moments of growth. The insights you have gained may be exactly what someone else needs to hear. I hope you will think seriously about what your message might be and continue to refine it over time. Then, when the opportunity comes, you'll be ready to give it voice, sharing lessons shaped by the many classrooms that life provides. One of the first classrooms I invite you to enter is the classroom of paying attention. This comes from a simple strategy taught to Elder Garrett W. Gong by his mother, Jean. As a young man, Elder Gong and his brother once came home from church and said that they thought a sacrament meeting talk was boring. Their mother challenged them to come up with a better talk. They accepted the challenge and began paying closer attention. I invite you to apply the same strategy when you attend devotionals, not because they're boring, but because the Lord is willing to teach us far more than we realize. Impressions from the Spirit are quiet and personal, and easily missed if we are distracted. So be intentional and take full advantage of devotionals. Listen carefully and notice what you feel. Take notes and reflect on your inspiration. Discuss your thoughts with others and pray for understanding and consider what you might say or do differently if you were to give the talk yourself. We often gain from an experience what we are willing to invest in it. Choose to attend devotionals each week and be present. No experience is wasted when you are attentive and open to what the Spirit can teach you. Life also offers us a classroom of new beginnings. This is a caring place of refuge, repentance, and change. Elder Patrick Kieran said, "All of us can have a new beginning through and because of Jesus Christ, even you. New beginnings are at the heart of the Father's plan for His children. This is the church of new beginnings. This is a church of fresh starts." Looking back, we can all see missteps we have made and the things that we wish we had done better. Nevertheless, we can repent daily and keep moving forward. Life is not meant to be a courtroom where we feel judged or defined by our mistakes. Jesus Christ has already paid the price, so we do not need to dwell on regrets or disappointments. Preach My Gospel teaches, our faith in Christ and our love for Him leads us to change our thoughts, beliefs, and behaviors that are not in harmony with His will. Repentance includes forming a fresh view of God, ourselves, and the world. So discover what the power of the Savior's atonement makes possible in your life and how it aligns with His purpose for you here at BYU Hawaii. Do not doubt yourself or limit your potential with self-defeating thoughts or behaviors. Instead, make a fresh start. You are where you need to be to help you become who you are meant to become. Another classroom life offers is the classroom of becoming. one that requires patience, humility, and trust in the Lord. As a young missionary from Hawaii serving in Hong Kong, I was reasonably competent in Cantonese. I could teach lessons, engage with members and investigators, and manage the routines of daily life. However, because of my Chinese heritage and appearance, people would sometimes ask why my Chinese was so poor, assuming I should speak like a native. Meanwhile, my Caucasian companions were often praised as exceptional, even when their language ability was similar to mine, because it was unexpected that they could speak such a difficult language. Now, I'm sad to say that I allowed those kinds of courtroom judgments to shape how I saw myself. I became hesitant to speak and worried about being misunderstood or criticized. Over time, my confidence diminished, and after my mission, I used those feelings as an excuse to not maintain my language skills. In some ways, I chose comfort over growth. Looking back, especially after a recent visit to Hong Kong, I wish I had been less self-conscious and more willing to try. Too often we measure ourselves by others' expectations instead of the goodness and capacity the Lord sees in us. I have come to understand that it was never about speaking perfectly. It was about learning to communicate from the heart my love for Jesus Christ and trusting that He could work through my imperfect efforts. Elder Dale G. Renlund taught, "Indeed, God will be disappointed if we do not rely upon the merits, mercy, and grace of the Savior to magnify the God-given abilities we have received. With His loving assistance, He expects us to become the best version of ourselves." Now, many of you are studying in a language that is not your native language. You may sometimes feel hesitant and unsure about yourself, as I did in Hong Kong. But this is part of your classroom of becoming. Rely on the Lord and do your best. Consecrate your efforts to learn, and He will magnify your abilities. As His disciples, we are far more capable and far more empowered than we sometimes believe. Another classroom life offers is the classroom of integrity. This is the place where our daily choices shape our character and build the foundation of conduct that will guide us throughout our lives. At BYU Hawaii, one way we engage in this classroom is through the honor code and dress and grooming principles. These are commitments we have each voluntarily accepted as part of our unique living, learning, and work environments. Rather than seeing them as standards of worthiness, they are better understood as principles of preparedness and accountability. In living them, we learn who we are becoming and whether we will honor the trust we have been given. For the Strength of Youth teaches, living with integrity means that you love what is right in the sight of God, more than you love personal comfort, popularity, or convenience. It means doing what is right simply because it is right. Living with integrity goes beyond simply following the letter of the law. It is about embracing the intent behind the principles we have committed to live. Rather than asking, "Is this allowed?" we begin to ask, "Is this right?" In this way, our choices are guided not just by rules, but by a sincere desire to honor our commitments and live in alignment with our values. It invites us to move beyond minimal compliance and instead choose what reflects our best selves and our discipleship of Jesus Christ. Elder Neil A. Maxwell cautioned against being casual or surface level in our commitments when he said, "Instead of striving for greater consecration, it is so easy to go on performing casually in half-hearted compliance, as if hoping to ride to paradise on a golf cart. Please do not coast through the BYU Hawaii experience just going through the motions or holding back your integrity." Another classroom we encounter is the classroom of purposeful correction. It matters how we give and receive counsel and guidance. There have been times when I found myself acting more like a judge than a teacher. When I was a young father, I volunteered as a coach for my children's soccer teams. I remember one game in particular. I was shouting from the sidelines, pointing out mistakes, and expressing frustration when players were out of position or lost the ball. At the time, I did not understand that a more effective way to motivate and inspire is to recognize what people are doing right, not just what they are doing wrong. As I began to change my approach, I noticed something important. The players responded differently. They trusted me more. The attitude and atmosphere changed. I moved from being a judge and a critic to being a supporter and a teacher. President Dallin H. Oaks taught, if we would be more understanding of one another's mistakes, being satisfied merely to correct and not to chasten or call to repentance, we would surely promote loving and living together in greater peace and harmony. We see a beautiful example of this in the 10th chapter of Luke, in the Savior's interaction with the sisters Mary and Martha. The Savior comes to their home, and while Martha is busy with the preparations to host him, Mary chooses to sit at the Savior's feet and listen. As the demands on Martha increase, so does her frustration. She asks the Savior to have Mary help, so she is not left to do the work alone. Then the Savior purposefully responds, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. The Savior was not dismissing Martha's feelings. Rather, he was offering gentle correction to help her see what mattered most in that moment. While Martha's desire to serve was commendable, Mary chose what was of greater need. Martha viewed the situation through a courtroom lens, feeling burdened and focused on what seemed unfair. Mary, on the other hand, saw it as a classroom and chose to learn. Martha was concerned with preparing the meal. Mary was eager to be spiritually fed, and that made all the difference. In our own lives, correction is not meant to discourage us, but to redirect us. When we're open to it, we begin to see more clearly and prioritize more wisely. At times, students may struggle with aspects of their commitment to the honor code and dress and grooming principles. When that happens, it can be easy to feel judged or labeled as if you're in a courtroom. But that is not the purpose. The honor code is not meant to embarrass or discourage. It is meant to guide, refine, and prepare you for future leadership and service in building the kingdom of God. In any classroom, feedback is part of learning. At times it can be uncomfortable, but it is given to help us improve. In the same way, when honor code concerns are raised, they are meant to be teaching moments, opportunities to reflect and adjust. I invite you to see those purposeful corrections not as a verdict on who you are, but as a sign of who you are striving to become. Another classroom life offers is the classroom of hope. In this classroom, we learn that no matter where we are or how far we may feel we have drifted, there is always a way back through Jesus Christ. In a message delivered to students across the church educational system earlier this year, President Dallin H. Oaks shared an experience about a young man who had begun to lose touch with his faith and was preparing to step away from the church. When he confided in a priesthood leader and mentor, the response was simple and immediate. Rather than lecturing him, this leader shared his own testimony, speaking of the joy, peace, and inspiration the gospel had brought into his life. That moment had a powerful impact. The young man began to recognize what he had been missing in his own life. With care and wisdom, the leader then invited him to seek friends and associates who are striving to follow the Lord. Friends and associates with whom you can feel the Spirit and with whom you can reinforce your faith. The Classroom of Hope teaches us that change is possible and that we are never beyond the reach of the Savior's love. It also teaches us that hope is often sustained through the influence of good and faithful friends. Who we choose to surround ourselves with matters. I invite you to seek relationships that help you come closer to God, friends who strengthen your faith and help you hold on to hope. And just as importantly, be that kind of friend for others, someone who listens to the Spirit, and helps others know that God is relentless in his loving pursuit of each of us. Finally, there is the classroom of joy. In this classroom, we learn that joy is the purpose of our lives and central to our Heavenly Father's plan. Joy is not something we wait for at the end. It is something we experience along the way as we navigate the many classrooms of life and follow the Savior. While we are meant to experience joy, that does not mean we will be free from temptation, sadness, or suffering. But even in life's challenges, we can feel peace. As President Russell M. Nelson taught, the joy we feel has little to do with the circumstances of our lives and everything to do with the focus of our lives. When we focus on Jesus Christ, we can overcome difficulties, experience happiness in this life, and look forward to everlasting joy. One of my favorite examples of this is Ammon in the Book of Mormon. He declared, "Behold, my joy is full. Yea, my heart is brim with joy, and I will rejoice in my God." His joy came not only from the conversion of many of the Lamanites, but also from the repentance and faithfulness of his brethren. Instead of a future marked with destruction and despair, they found mercy and deliverance through Jesus Christ. So great was Ammon's joy that he could not contain it. He rejoiced openly about the power and goodness of God. Their joy came because they chose the classroom, not the courtroom. Rather than define themselves by their past as the very vilest of sinners, they turned to the Lord, trusted him, and became instruments in his hands. I am grateful for the joy my wife Jizeth and I feel in being part of the Lord's work here at BYU Hawaii. We see his hand in your lives, guiding, strengthening, stretching, and encouraging you along the way. I know that Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ take joy in your success and progress in who you are becoming. Though they are fully aware that we are not perfect, their love for us is perfect. It is their plan of happiness that we become perfect, but it is okay that we are still a work in progress. They are patient. They help us to learn from our mistakes and invite us to keep going to class. A question I hope you will ask yourself is, what is it God wants me to learn and become here? The answer is closely tied to how he sees you. As President Dieter F. Uchtdorf taught, God wants to change more than just our behaviors. He wants to change our very natures. He wants to change our hearts. God is on our side. He loves us. And when we stumble, he wants us to rise up, try again, and become stronger. At times, it may be tempting to see our lives through a courtroom lens, to judge ourselves or feel judged by others, to feel discouraged, or believe that we are constantly falling short. But that is not how the Lord sees us. He teaches us patiently and lovingly in places where we are meant to flourish and become our very best selves. The temple is the ultimate classroom, a sacred place where we are not judged, but taught and enlightened through ordinances and covenants centered on Jesus Christ. As you continue your time here at BYU Hawaii, I encourage you to recognize all the classrooms around you, not just in buildings. Pay attention to what the Spirit is teaching you. When needed, accept a new beginning. Trust the process of becoming. Live with integrity. Receive and offer purposeful correction. Hold on to hope. As you do, you will come to see how these classrooms are designed to lead you to greater joy. They are not separate experiences, but part of one greater purpose, to help us learn to follow and be more like the Savior. Jesus Christ is the ultimate lawgiver and judge, yet he is perfectly just and perfectly merciful. As our advocate with the Father, he knows us and cares more about our growth and ultimate victory than any verdict about our imperfections. As we follow the Savior, we will come to know him as our greatest teacher, our constant source of support, and through his atonement, the reason for lasting joy. In our Heavenly Father's plan, this life is not a courtroom. It is a divine classroom designed to prepare us to return and live with Him and become all He knows we can be. Of this I gratefully testify in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to Finding Center. Join us every weekday at 11 a.m. Mountain, 1 o'clock Eastern Time for a half hour of inspiration and recentering. Today we heard Life is a Classroom, Not a Courtroom by Kala Kao. Find a link to the full text, audio, and video of this address at byuradio.org/findingcenter. Finding Center is a production of BYU Broadcasting.